Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's Handy Link. You're listening to Handy Link on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
Welcome to Handy Link, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association, an organization that promotes recreational and athletic opportunities for individuals with disabilities in Windsor, Essex. I'm your host, Cam Wells. In this segment of our show, we'll hear from Yuri Aragis from Kickstart. So tell me a little bit about Kickstart.
Kickstart Disability Arts and Culture is in its 21st year now. We are one of the few professional arts organizations in British Columbia that pays artists who identify as living with a disability professional fees for the artistic work that they do. And so we pay artists for being parts of exhibitions, giving concerts, artist talks, lectures, all kinds of things. As far as disability goes, we use self-identification for that because disability is such an ever-changing community. We leave it up to individuals to self-identify, and so if somebody's working with us, they obviously choose to identify as living with a disability. And the reason we do that is because there's so many invisible disabilities out there in the world, and so we just try to bring respect to everybody's choice and to their disability. In general, that's who we are in a nutshell.
So how do you go about spreading the word about the work you do?
It's always an interesting challenge because we are an arts organization. And so I say that because we're not a social service organization. So we are out there promoting and marketing and grant writing in the same way that every major arts institution in our city is, from the Vancouver Art Gallery all the way down to us. So when the funding is, traditionally speaking, when the funding is available, you know, we do traditional marketing, print ads, things like that. But we do find that because the majority of our community uses computers as, you know, the majority of their, where they get the majority of their information, entertainment, and so forth, we really do rely on social media a lot. And even though we have a website, a Twitter, Instagram, and all of that kind of stuff, we do still see our Facebook page as one of the best ways to promote the events that we do. And it is important for me to say that Kickstart does a cultural event every month, all year round. Historically, when we first started, we were a festival organization. Kickstart, many, many years ago, started the first disability-oriented cultural festival in Canada. And that festival was called Kickstart. That's actually how we got our name. We used to be called the Society for Disability Arts and Culture. And because the festival started to become so popular and everybody started using the term Kickstart, we ultimately changed our name to Kickstart. But we shifted in 2013 from doing festivals that we did every 3 years, roughly. And they were huge international festivals. We brought artists from Australia, from Europe, from the States, all over to do these huge three-day international festivals. But ultimately, we found that it didn't serve our community enough in a sense that, you know, because of health and transportation seems to be the two biggest issues in our world, You know, if you're sick or you miss your handy dart thing or whatever like that, you miss the festival by chance, you know, there's no disability art and culture for another 3 years. So it kind of ghettoizes the concept. So we really wanted to show how individuals identifying with disabilities, particularly artists, are equal contributors to our community, our cultural community. So we really decided to take the shift and do an event every month to keep us in the public eye on a regular basis. So I think the activity of doing events on a regular basis is a big part of how we get the word out, just by keeping ourselves in people's minds and faces, if you will.
So you mentioned some of the challenges you faced. I'd like to look at the converse side of things and ask, what's been the greatest success you've witnessed?
Such a broad question, and there are so many I can honestly say. But in the terms, I'm just going to say something about accessibility. I'm in Kickstarts based in Vancouver, and you know, as you know, we live in a country where disability is just starting to, as far as accessibility laws, just starting to become something that is regular in our country. And so it's unfortunate, but we end up doing a lot of work in the world of accessibility. That's not what we want to do, but we have to do it. Because, you know, I mean, I'm not going to do an event in a place where all of the artists I'm working with can't get into. So we don't do events that in spaces that aren't accessible and things of that nature. So it limits us, and that's really important. And it's important because it helps us get our message out. And what I'm leading you to is Kickstart is doing an exhibition at a gallery called the Ranger Station Art Gallery in Harrison Hot Springs. It's quite a nice community in British Columbia. And they had a call for artists out, and the reason I wanted to do a submission to them as the artistic director is because it's not an accessible venue, and you know, by doing that, it just starts a conversation with people and things of that nature. So they accepted our proposal, and in our proposal, we were talking about, you know, we're going to do temporary ramps and all of this kind of stuff and have an audio described tour, and our opening is ASL interpreted and all of this stuff. And the town, on their own accord, has given the art gallery $20,000 to increase its accessibility before Kickstart comes to do their exhibition. And that is such a huge success story to me, because we never hear about those things. It's kind of like the cause and effect of things. And I really think, as an organization, as Kickstart, if we put ourselves forward and we are just honest about our needs, and we're doing it in a way that is somehow allows the other half, it's a big discussion, but you know, in this time of change right now, where disability is becoming much more aware, we have to somehow be, as hard as it is, try to be generous to the other side, to make mistakes and do all of this and to slowly get on board. But it is incredible to me that this town, without discussion, has just given this grant to this art gallery to increase accessibility. To me, that is an incredible success. And I want to say I found this out through reading it in the newspaper, and that just blows my mind.
Like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Of course.
So, my friends, I've long talked about the sense of disability community. Coming up next, we're going to hear a great example of that. Previous guest and our friend Kelsey Rose McDonald helped a young girl named Autumn who wanted to be a pageant participant. She helped her get to a point where she could live her dream. We're going to hear from both of them in just a moment. So, Kelsey tells me she's been encouraging you in your pageant work, Autumn. Why'd you want to get involved?
What? So, Autumn?
Yeah?
So, say that again, Cam. I don't think she heard you.
So, Autumn, Kelsey told me she's been helping you to prepare for your pageants and to live your dreams. Can you tell me what got you started in wanting to be a pageant contestant?
Because I want to encourage others, and I like doing pageants because I find them fun.
And How has Kelsey helped you in this?
By trying to help me over the years of getting away from other people.
And what do you hope to accomplish by being involved with the pageants?
I'm the first kid with a disability.
When's the Junior Miss Galaxy pageant?
Yeah, Junior Miss Galaxy Canada.
And what message would you send to the community about why it's important to have kids with disabilities involved in this? What would you tell people, Autumn?
I want people to achieve their goals.
And Kelsey, how have you been supporting Autumn in her journey?
So I met Autumn last year at a Guelph parade. It's only been less than a year that I've known Autumn. And I decided to put together a pageant for kids with disabilities as well as a few heart warriors and just do a fun type of pageant. And one of my dreams was to train and have a young girl or a boy with a disability participate in their own pageant. And I had queens come out on Sunday, and Autumn was just thrilled with them being there. She was excited, and I found out just a couple days ago that she has joined to run for Miss Junior Galaxy Canada. And I also want to say exciting news, because I'm not sure if Autumn knows, but I am going to be running for it as well. So I am going to be there for full support with Autumn, and I'm running for Miss Galaxy Waterloo is what I'm running for. So I'm excited to be able to help run the journey and be there and help her prepare and be there to support her the whole way. So I'm actually looking forward to September 27th to do this with Autumn and make history and be the first adult, even just being there, being the first adult and kid with autism to succeed in this pageant is another dream of mine, and I'm excited to make history with Autumn, absolutely.
So, Autumn, is there anything else you want to tell the men and women who might be listening?
That if you try hard, that you can achieve your goals and dreams.
Perfect answer.
Thank you both very much for taking the time.
Thank you.
I just love hearing that sense of community, folks. Hearing one person with a disability building up another, reminding them that they have something valuable to contribute to the community, regardless of age, regardless of perceived ability, that they can inspire others, that they can make a difference. And I don't mean inspire in the big, grand sense we so often associate it with. I mean, just by living with dignity and strength, you may change a person's outlook in ways you don't even realize. And truly, disabilities have to be at the forefront. People have to take a notice that these things are happening, that people are living with pride and strength and dignity, and they too can be a light to this community. HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
Celebrating its 27th year, Windsor Essex Pride Festival returns to Lansbury Park on Friday, August 9th to Sunday, August 11th. Come out for the annual Pride Parade beginning at 11 a.m. on Sunday at Ottawa Street and Argyle Road and proceeding to the festival grounds at Lansbury Park near Langlois Avenue. Stick around for regional music and drag performances, food vendors, and more. CJAM 99.1 FM is a proud supporter of Windsor Essex Pride Festival and our local LGBTQ+ community. For a complete schedule and more information, go to wepridefest.com.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association, an organization that promotes recreational and athletic opportunities for individuals with disabilities in Windsor Essex. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard a little bit about Kickstart and from a couple of autistic models hoping to make a difference. In this segment of our show, we'll hear from Bob Katzko from the Canadian Society for Asbestos Victims. So tell me a little bit about the effect asbestos has had in Canada.
The effect it's had? Well, it's taken so many lives from people who've been exposed to it. In probably around 2008-2009, University of British Columbia did a study, and they determined in BC alone, there's probably a worker dies every day. So if you extrapolate that across Canada, there could be 1,000 people dying from asbestos exposure every year.
So can you tell me a little bit about how you support the victims through the association?
I basically have an 800 number where people can call, and what I try to do is just steer people to existing services in Canada. So that's either medical services or compensation. And I'd say 1 in 5 calls are people who actually have an asbestos-related disease. And most other ones are just tradespeople worried about the fact that they've been around asbestos all their lives and what they can do about it. So I generally tell people that the cancer you get from asbestos is actually very rare. And as long as people aren't exposed to asbestos anymore, they should really just go about living their lives or enjoying their retirement.
So what are some of the challenges facing the victims? Do they sometimes have a hard time getting that compensation you mentioned?
Well, there's such a vast diversity of what people can get in Canada. People are compensated through provincial compensation boards in Canada. And for the most part, these compensation laws are, in some cases, ideologically motivated or politically motivated. So sometimes the laws favor businesses, and in other instances, a different government gets in and it favors workers. So the big challenge is for people to actually get some kind of compensation. For instance, in British Columbia, the compensation regime is a wage loss system. So think of that. The latency period for an asbestos-related cancer could be up to 50 years. So you might have a fellow who's 75 years old, enjoying his retirement, and he suddenly gets this death sentence, being told that he has mesothelioma, the cancer you get from asbestos. And he's not working anymore, so there's no wage loss. So the compensation board says, well, you're not out any money. This isn't really anything we can do for you. Now, this poor fellow has been given a death sentence, and he won't get any compensation. And that's just for workers. If he's been coming home with asbestos over his clothes and his wife has been washing his clothes and she gets the cancer, she gets absolutely nothing. If some fellow, because of his own initiative, is self-employed and is not part of the compensation regime, he also gets nothing. So Canada-wide, there's a lot of people just aren't getting any help whatsoever.
So to look at the converse side of things, in your time working with asbestos victims and steering them the right way, has there been any success story that stands out for you?
Well, a lot has happened in the 10 years I've started this organization. I started it in 2009. And since 2009, we're not exporting asbestos anymore. And in just December 2018, Canada announced it was going to ban the use of asbestos in Canada. I mean, that's huge. It's a huge step forward.
So,
and even the Canadian Cancer Society now lists asbestosis as one of the cancers on its list of cancers. Prior to 2009, when I started this, it wasn't listed. And also in British Columbia, the WorkSafe BC, the Provincial Compensation Board, they've been doing a lot since the last 10 years. They have an awareness program now for people to educate workers on what they should look for in buildings to see asbestos. And it's also in some curriculums now, in trades curriculums, for students to learn about asbestos, to be able to identify it. I mean, these are huge steps, but it's just crawling along. We're in an epidemic here of occupational exposure, and I think the Canadian government really should take a big step forward and have some kind of national strategy.
So, what message would you send to the community about how they can best educate themselves?
Message to the community. Well, if you're in an old home and you're thinking of doing some sort of renovations, I mean, there were thousands of products used asbestos. So it could be in floor tiles, could be in the gyprock on the walls. Certainly it could be insulation. It could be wrapped around pipes or water pipes. People can go on websites and learn to identify asbestos, and it's pretty simple to very carefully take a sample of something and send it to a lab, and they will tell you whether there's asbestos in it or not. And the worst thing you can do is disturb it or make it airborne. And once you've identified the asbestos, then you can have your own plan of what to do with it in your house. That's another thing the Canadian government can do, is help homeowners get rid of the asbestos. It's very expensive to do, and most people just cover it up. They just refuse to deal with it. They sell their homes. They don't tell people that it's in the ceilings or whatever. And certainly, tradespeople should learn how to identify it. And most tradespeople, I mean, by law, if they feel they're in an unsafe situation, they can just refuse to work. And if they think they're around asbestos, they should just refuse to work until it's been tested and they're clear to go.
Like, thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Betcha.
When it comes to asbestos, I'm frankly floored that this is still an issue. Fact is, at the time they discovered it, yes, it was to be the next miracle product. That's what they thought about uranium until the radiation poisoning set in. The fact is, support has to be there for those who have been living with this long term. A person goes to work, gives it their all, day after day, trying to provide for their family and come out with a decent quality of life. That being said, they do not deserve a death sentence or to be forgotten by society. Truth is, when we don't provide said supports, that's what we're doing. Yeah, to some government somewhere, it's the difference between one zero and another on a paycheck. But between the families and the workers who give their all, it's a matter of life and death. It is a matter of human respect. It's the difference between society saying, I remember you, I recognize you're valuable, and no matter what happens, I'm still going to look and see a strong, proud person. And honestly, that ties into what Kelsey and Autumn are doing as well. They're putting on a show to show the public, even young girls with autism, have something to contribute. As I've said so many times before, people can change a life no matter what the disability. Even if you have someone who's quadriplegic and totally nonverbal, I maintain they can change your life. Might be something you don't even notice, but they get the right smile on their face. They look in your direction. Might brighten your day. You might not necessarily know why, but your day still brightened, isn't it? Truth is, we must never underestimate the impact of these little moments. No matter what it is we care to do in this world, we must make sure that we do it with our hearts filled with hope. Because for those who have been suffering with asbestos, or those who feel overlooked by the community, and those who want to make a public statement, there's always hope for tomorrow. Just got to hang in there long enough and find a reason to keep going. And sometimes that is very difficult. I mean, when you're facing something like mesothelioma, and you're facing the prospects of fear and an uncertain future, ask yourself the one key question that'll keep you alive every time. Is there someone in this world who loves me enough to want me around? Is there someone whose life has been made better by me? The answer is yes, and you know the world is just better for having you in it. I mean, I love what Kelsey and Autumn are doing, you know? I really, really do. They're doing something relatable, something the public can get behind. They're doing a pageant, and they're not doing it overtly by saying, I'm just a person with a disability. They're saying, no, I have this disability, but I want to be a contestant as well. I want to participate. For I maintain, we are stronger as a united people. We work together, we create together, we find solutions together. Do you know what I love the most, folks? It's the smaller organizations working in disabilities. The ones that have the biggest hearts. They don't have a lot of resources. They really don't. But they recognize that they have a goal they want to achieve. So, what do? They commit to finding a way to make it happen. Whether it be a Kickstarter organization, or a pageant the world is well known. We must never lose our hearts for the work. Fact is, any individual with enough passion, the right idea, can and should make a difference. Yeah, it might require knocking on some doors, making some calls. That's part of life. It's not like these people are unaffected by disability issues. Fact is, we all are, whether we recognize it or not. Somewhere in every family, there has been someone with a disability, classified or otherwise. And the more we recognize this, the more of a human face we put on these matters. We stop and we say, this is someone entitled to consideration. This is somebody we must not overlook. Whether it's someone going out and making a grand gesture, or just someone who looks like they need a little extra support. Either way, we as a people have both the responsibility and the privilege of standing beside them. I mean, inclusion is not an afterthought. We don't do this because it's a chore, because we have to take notice, because all the other media outlets are noticing there's a pageant. No, we do it because they're putting on a good show, and we want our ideals and our actions to match. We want to support people of all abilities, all backgrounds, coming together, whatever their work, whatever their passion may be. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.